everybody's going to have some good players, but you're going to win with that middle third of your roster, in my opinion. We've got some really good players, but then we had a guy, a two-way player on the offensive line that was 5'8", 185. He played on the O-line and the D-line, started both ways. Just a hard-nosed football player that loves football. I think everybody kind of gets tied up, and you got to be this height, weight, size. We're not coaching college. We're coaching high school football, young men, and get after it and go grind and get everybody to believe together.
The journey to championship success is often paved with unique challenges and opportunities for growth. An example of this is from Boyle County, where head coach Justin Haddix has led his team to an impressive 4-in-a-row state championships. When Coach Haddix took the reins at Boyle County, he inherited a program with a rich history of success under the guidance of legendary coach Chuck Smith. However, rather than simply replicating what was done to accomplish the past achievements, Coach Haddix brought his distinctive touch to the program. In this episode of Champion Series, he emphasizes the importance of putting his fingerprint on the team, blending the existing winning culture with his innovative ideas to propel the team to new heights, and navigating a transition smoothly by instilling a sense of ownership and adaptability within the players and staff. A key component of Boyle County's success under Coach Haddix's leadership has been the relentless focus on the off-season training and development and implementing the Rebel Boot Camp in the team's weight room sessions, not only fostered physical strength, but also instilled a sense of camaraderie and competition amongst the players. Coach Haddix and his staff encourage players to push their limits, break records, and embrace the grind together by creating a structured and engaging workout environment. The emphasis on competition, teamwork, and continuous improvement in the offseason has been instrumental in shaping Boyle County's winning culture and sustaining success year after year. Stay tuned for Winning Edge Takeaways following the interview. What you see on tape is a direct reflection of what you teach and how you teach. Video is important, but if you don't teach well, you're not going to like what you see on your video. First Down Playbook has been helping coaches teach better for 13 years. It allows you to present installs, playbooks, and practice cards in half the time with NFL quality. Coaching tools like video pairing, a player app, practice schedules, and wristband sheets have made First Down Playbook a program management system with everything in one place. If you're in a position of leadership with your football program, receive a free one-week look at First Down Playbook. Call them at 512-814-6158 or visit them on their website or social media. Mention Coach and Coordinator Podcast or use the coupon code COACH24 to receive a $100 discount off the normal $700 First Down Playbook team membership price. Links and the phone number are in the show notes. We continue on with our Champions series, and we're joined by a four-peat state champion from Kentucky, the head coach at Boyle County High School, Justin Haddix. Coach Haddix, we're excited to have you here on our Champion series.
Hey, thanks for having me. I'm excited.
Well, Coach, you know, you look at the way guys get to the championship, get to a four-peat, and it always happens in different ways. And so for you, the situation was you actually were on the other side of the ball when Boyle County won a state championship, and Chuck Smith, who's a past guest of ours, was the head coach then, and you had the opportunity to come over to Boyle County and do things there. Now, Chuck Smith, for our listeners, has had a tremendous amount of success there. So it was Coach Haddix moving into a situation that was already great. But, Coach, I think you would agree with me. You don't just take what Coach Smith was doing and try to replicate that. You have to put your own spin on it. You have to put your fingerprint on it as well. So what did that look like for you as you started at Boyle County in 2020?
You know, I'd had some success, and I played in college and won a state championship in high school as a player. Started to get back coaching. You know, in 17, like you said, I was runner-up. I was on the other side at Corbin High School. And then in 18, we actually played Boyle in the semifinals, and we beat them. But then we lost in the finals again. And then 2019 was Coach Smith's last year. They lost in the finals by 1 point. So coming into a program of this, and job came open, got reached out to, ended up taking the job. And you know, it was something I'd been at two other places, at Perry County Central and at Corbin High School. I kind of went in and had to restart everything. Like, kind of, this is what were going to do and change kind of some things, how they did. You know, obviously that ruffles some feathers in some places and some places it doesn't, but it had been very successful at those two places. And then looking at a job, you wanted to go to, they'd won 11, I think 10 state championships here since 1999. And I think it 9 or 10, I think is what it was. And then I said, just the winning here and the culture here was awesome. And I got it started here. And I said, I want to take this place and I love what they do. And we're going to take a lot of this and I'm going to put my spin on it. And been very blessed. We've won the last 4 in a row.
When you start in a situation like that, is there any pushback? I mean, you know, Coach Smith had been there obviously a long time. Is, you know, you mentioned other places it ruffles feathers, but for you, what was that transition like?
I think they were excited to see a new Coach Smith was an old school, more of an old school, you know, obviously coach and, you know, had a lot of, they probably had an older staff also that had been very successful coaches and then really came in and I had to replace a bunch of guys because you had Coach Smith leave, the offensive coordinator left, they were all old enough to retire. So then you had all those guys and, you know, they're coaching in college or helping here, helping there. And then we probably went from one of the older staffs in Kentucky to probably one of the youngest as a whole group. I think the oldest guy on our staff was in his 50s, and that was Jeff Hester for a year, and then he was there for a year, and then he retired. So then the oldest guy on staff was like 40, 44 or something like that. So the kids were excited about it. Obviously, it was something that had a great coach, Hall of Famer, one of the best to ever do it in the state of Kentucky or wherever. But just coming in and the energy, I'm a very high energy. We got a cool speaker in the locker, in the weight room, and we're listening to music and we're doing this and, you know, talking to them and getting to know the kids was something that just made it had a lot of good energy. You could tell they were excited for that.
It goes without saying that with the coaches we talked to on this series, I mean, one big key component they're all going to bring up is the off season, right? Champions are built in the off season. And so for you guys, the weight room and your spin on it became Rebel Boot Camp. And the way you handle things there, you know, two things. I think really all of this is kind of like, how are we going to brand this? And there's your culture, which you said, walking into a strong culture, you're obviously going to put your spin on it. But then how does that messaging go out? And that is probably something new for your community. But I know when we look at the weight room, that's what you call Rebel Boot Camp.
And that was something they'd done Rebel Boot Camp. I give a lot of credit to Coach Smith. They'd done Rebel Boot Camp forever. He started it all and did this. And then Jeff Hester, who was the defensive coordinator and my first year here and had ran the weight room for 20 years. And that was something I come in as a coach and I'm used to running the weight room. That's what I do. I'm a PE guy. So I've ran the weight room at any place I've been. And then I came here and Coach Hester had been doing it, did a great job, did this. And I said, okay, I'm going to let him do it. And it took like a weight off my shoulders was, I didn't have to be that guy that drove them every day. And I could go around and I could talk to the kids and get to know them and kind of push them. I could be the good guy, the bad guy, all that with it. And then once Coach Hester retired, we win a state championship in 2020. I was able to hire a coach that I started with, Jackson Arnett. And he's came in and had the weight room the last 3 years and just kind of really took off from that. Had multiple, breaking a record in our weight room was kind of crazy. And I think we've had 9 or 10 records broken since Jackson's been here. So Coach Arnett, so that's been a really cool thing and just the way the players have all bought in. And we've made some tweaks to it from where it started. They used to start at 7:20 in the morning and we would do 5 days a week. And then some kids would show up after school on Tuesdays and Thursdays and do some speed work. And then we've switched that a little bit. We've got 60 plus kids come in at 6:45 in the morning. And we go 5 days a week. Our middle schoolers start coming over in the after school on Tuesdays and Thursdays and really start trying to get the introduction of what we're going to do in the weight room. But they've all bought into that. You know, we've added the T-shirts. We've added all these things to kind of keep it fresh because you can get stale if you're just continuing doing that. But the competition, we keep it going. There's something every week. There's, social media stuff all the time. Obviously, kids love that. Community loves that, but it's been really great for us.
Yeah, let's dig into a few of those things a little bit more. And just first and foremost, the working out at 6 a.m. And if you went across Twitter and looked at different things, you're going to have guys who are proponents of that. You're going to have guys saying, you should do it in the afternoon. I think there's a million ways to do things and do it well. What's the benefits for you guys? Why do the guys like it so much? Why do you like it so much doing it that time in the morning, 5 days a week?
I would be with you in a lot of it. I'd always had, even growing up in high school, the last period of the day was always, hey, you had advanced PE or whatever it was. And now I would never go back. If I took another job, I would say, hey, we've got to have this class first period in the morning, or I'm not taking the job. That's how strongly I feel towards it right now and what it's done for us. And our guys have to figure out a way to get here. So we don't bus them in the mornings. They've got to figure out a way. School starts at 8:05 in the morning. They have first period is advanced PE, Rebel Boot Camp's what it's called, weightlifting. Coach Arnett's the teacher of that, but we start at 6:45 in the morning in the gym, and we take roll. And they're coming in to take roll, and then we get started moving. We're doing all of our dynamics, all of our everything we do. We don't have an indoor facility. We're kind of right in our school, right in the middle of it. We're like the central hub of the school, and our weight room and locker room's all kind of right there. So we start in the gym. That's our indoor, we say, and nobody's in the gym at 6:45 in the morning. So we get about 30, 40 minutes in the gym and kind of switch it up what we do, and then we head over to the weight room. We're able to get them breakfast with that. The school helps us with that, getting them breakfast. Then they go on. We usually work out 6:45 to 8:45, give them 20 minutes, take a shower, and then they're heading off the second period.
It's a heck of a start to the day. You mentioned, hey, keeping it fresh, T-shirts, competitions. Let's talk about the T-shirts first. What are the T-shirts for? How do they earn those? And, what's the, theme behind those?
Yeah, it's something we just wanted them all to look alike. So we try to run it like a college, as far as what we're doing. They've all got their little belt, and coaches, they got their wash belt. They all got the same matching things that they're going to wear, and everybody, it stays in the facility doing this. But kind of going back to what we do, why I like it in the morning too, is we've got a bunch of multi-sport kids. We've got 850 students in our school. We're good at all sports, baseball, basketball, everything doing that. And our whole basketball team, out of the 12 varsity players, I think 9 of them are football players. So they are all here in the mornings also lifting. And we work out at 6:45. They lift weights. If they got a game that night, we obviously smart with them as far as what they're doing. But they get to come in the gym and get some extra shots up during that time. So they're actually getting more shots up than a normal basketball player is. And then they're eating breakfast, they're eating lunch, and then they're able to go and recover and be ready for basketball practice, game, whatever they got to do. And that's just kind of our culture. It doesn't our guys all show up, and that's the same way with baseball. We got our baseball players are there in the morning, basketball players, our track guys are doing the same thing. We really push. And that doing it early in the morning, it allows them to recover, and it doesn't make them choose. They're not lifting at 2:30 and then having to play at 7:30. They're lifting 12. They're having 12 hours to recover before they've got to go do that. And the best players in the world exercise and lift weights year round. And that's what our guys do too.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more on that. But I've also been in the situations where I've coming into a school wanting to do similar types of things and train athletes. Right, didn't matter the sport. But you get some pushback, or this coach doesn't want to buy in. It seems like some of this was set up before you went in, but whether it was or not, you were approaching a new situation, where you had to get everybody on the same page. How would you go about doing that? Because I agree with you. I think those athletes are never maintaining. They're all of them, regardless of the sport, they're getting better throughout the year by doing something like this.
And it takes some adjustment. And I'm not going to say everybody's always happy about it as far as what it is, but I think a lot of that goes back to the kids too. Of we talk to our kids. I say, hey, if you're complaining about this all the time and you want to make that excuse and you're going to do that, you're just going to make it harder on me, and you're going to make it harder on everybody to get along. If you're out there and doing what you're supposed to be and taking care of your body, there's not going to be any problems. And I think your kids, that culture of it kind of gets to it, to where it keeps the adults out of it. Because, I think a lot of everything would be a lot better if we kept a lot of the adults out of it. But, our kids have coming in and just said, hey, this is what we do. It's going to make me better. And they all believe that. And they've been very successful. I had a kid going back to it. People say basketball, whatever. He didn't play for me in 20. He was walking through the halls. And, that's something when I first got here. I'm trying to throw him a ball. He's a 6'2", nice-looking athlete, probably the best guard in the school. And I'm throwing the ball. I said, boy, you look good catching that football. And he didn't play. And then he said, well, I'm going to try it in the spring. So he tries it in the spring, loves it, comes out, plays football. We win a state championship, makes a couple big catches in the state championship game, and then goes out and wins the region player of the year in basketball, and goes and plays college basketball too. He said, Coach, I wish I would have played all my years. I wish I would have played all 4 years being able to do this. But, you know, here he was. He got better playing football, made him a better basketball player. And I think all those go hand in hand, in my opinion.
I definitely agree with you there. And, you know, you mentioned the competition part of it too. So your guys playing sports, obviously they're competing year round, but you know, the other guys definitely can benefit from setting up competitive situations. We had Scott Leach, the strength and conditioning coach, University of Rhode Island here, with what he had to say about the competition part he does on the field, that he gets so much more out of setting it up competitively than just lining guys up and running sprints, as an example, right? So for you guys, how are you creating that competition? What does that look like for you in your Rebel boot camp?
There's always something, whether it's jumping boxes, whether it's having max day when we do this, having shuttle runs in the gym in the morning before we get started. And also what we've added kind of since I've been here is we had a Rebel Week. Now, the kids may call it something else, but we call it the Rebel Week, where it's kind of like a college-type mat drill deal, and we draft in teams, and each coach has got a team, and we've got leaders, and we're pushing sleds, doing this, and you get, you know, somebody on your team's a bad teammate, and he's not showing up, it costs your team points, and we have a winner and loser and that. We always finish everything with a competition and that thing also, and at the end of Rebel Week, the winning team gets something special, whether it's a steak dinner, or you get pizza on this, or you get kind of all that stuff with it, and you get a special shirt. You get something that, you know, maybe nobody else does. You got to be on that winning team to kind of get it, and it's funny to see just the kids compete over that, and you kind of see who your leaders are as far as what it is, because you got to make sure somebody on your team's not there. You're calling them to get them up. You're making sure that they're there on time. And then I think that, you know, developing leaders is a big part of our recipe for success.
As coaches, we know that some of the biggest hurdles to our team's success can come from off the field. Your team needs support to tackle the endless list of expenses, uniforms, training equipment, travel, and more. But raising that money can feel like a full-time job. Thankfully, there's Vertical Raise. Vertical Raise is the premier online fundraising platform, using innovative technology to create the easiest and most efficient system available. Raise more money in less time with a local fundraising coach who works with your team every step of the way to customize the ideal fundraiser. With options for online donations, digital discount cards, premium product sales, and even spirit shops, Vertical Raise has top-of-the-line solutions for every fundraising style. To find out more, visit verticalraise.com and we'll get you connected with an exclusive offer on your first fundraiser.
You guys have put a lot of thought, it seems like, into the branding too. And kids, as you mentioned before, love social media. They like the recognition. I mean, it is a great platform, right, to be able to recognize guys, and they could share it with their peers and their peers see it, et cetera. So social media is something you guys have embraced in the branding, and even in creating a series you call Built by Boyle as well. So talk to us a little bit about that, the place of the social media and the branding and the show that you've put together, Built by Boyle, in your program.
Well, we've got an assistant on staff here. He's our JV head coach, and he is really good. He's sharp with all this stuff that he does. His name's Boone Goldsmith, and I encourage all of our coaches, hey, you see something, you're always learning. You know, there's a sign in my office that says, when you're through learning, you're through. So kind of reaching out to him, he said, Michigan Made. They kind of came out with this, University of Michigan did, and it said Michigan Made, and it has interviews of players. He said, what about doing something like this? I said, I'm all for it. Let's see what we can do. And we've made a series. We're doing 9 episodes starting out with, and kind of laid it out what we wanted to do. And it's called Built by Boyle. So it's got some of our players in interviewing. It's showing us working out in the morning. It's coming in. It's dark. They're coming in the locker room. It videos everything that we're doing and highlights our kids, you know, because that's, first thing about it is you got to have a great product. You know, we've got a really good product. Obviously, we've won, but then also we've got really good kids and really good players, and that's what it's about. It's about the players and highlighting them and listen to them talk about that thing. And we're interviewing them. Hey, why is Rebel Boot Camp this? Why do you think this? And they're doing that. And we've had a lot of success. You know, we put those episodes out. We're getting 30, 40, 50,000 views on a thing here. We're a little school in Kentucky, about 45 minutes from Lexington, with 850 kids in our school. So it's been very successful for us, and the kids love it. And, you know, people in the community are asking, hey, when's the next episode? When's the next episode? And we do it every 2 weeks. We'll have one releasing tomorrow, too. Every 2 weeks on a Tuesday at 10 a.m. And you wouldn't believe the messages that we get of like, when's it coming? Because he's done a great job with it. Boone Goldsmith he's kind of produces it all and does that. And it's been awesome for our program.
What platform does he release that on?
We put those on Twitter, on YouTube, Facebook, and Instagram. So we kind of, our little page has got it, our Boyle County Twitter, and we've got a Facebook and Instagram, and then on our YouTube channel also.
So with that kind of reach in your community, obviously the culture of your program, you know, people know what it's all about, right? And again, looking at the things you're doing now and what you might do, let's say, you know, you do have a good product. But if you were in a situation where you want to build to this, you're not there yet, right? You're a new coach, maybe at a new program where you got to flip everything. What's your approach? How are you going to start that? What kind of things would you highlight to build that kind of interest in your program across the community?
The kids are your driving force as far as what you got to do, and you got to highlight them. You've got to teach them. And that's something that was, you know, coming up, I didn't do any interviews until I went to college and had to do an interview after a game or something. I rarely got an interview, didn't know what I was doing. And that's something kind of a byproduct of doing this. Our kids are going to be ready when they get in those situations to talk in front of a camera. And we give them cues and things that they need to work on, or we're not going to put something out bad that they do an interview. But that's just an added factor of, you know, of something really good that they're learning how to talk on camera and how they want to be portrayed in their image. And as far as what they're doing there,
we'll put a link to your Built by Boyle series in our show notes so our listeners can get a peek at that and maybe get some ideas for what they can do within their own program. Looking forward, obviously, you want to continue to sustain the success, right? And I think maintain, sustain, like those are dangerous words because it seems like status quo. You always have to be getting better. But for you, target on your back 4 years in a row, and then you have a group of guys who are going to be seniors now. Your last group never experienced anything but a state championship. This current group wants to keep that going. So what's the approach every single year to be able to turn the page and work on that next season?
I think that's the hardest thing is, and we talk about it a lot, handling success. Because you think about it, you know, if you don't have anything, you can work, and there's this mountain that you want to get on. And we've got another one of our assistant coaches who talks about there's no air. Said, you know, people don't live up on top of mountains because it's hard to breathe. It's tough up there to get that, and to stay on top is harder than anything you do. It's not normal as far as doing that. So we talk about handling success, what we're going to do. And actually, you know, it's funny, I get up around 5:10, and I woke up earlier than that this morning. And I said, it kind of hit me about, you know, this, and we all have the same problem. Some kids are, you know, they're skipping reps, they're doing this and doing that, but your leadership is going to change. And I woke up and said, find a way or find an excuse. And, you know, most society is going to find an excuse for why they didn't do this or why they did this or why they did that. I said, we can either find a way together to say, hey, we're going to do this the right way, or we can find an excuse. What's going to help you later on? And that was my talk to him this morning. I got a little, usually it's more of a workout, kind of a little pump up, let's go. But we got off on that, and I thought it really hit home with our guys. It hit home with me. And, you know, I think that's something we always got to find a way to get better. Or, you know, you can find an excuse for why this didn't happen or blame somebody else. But it's about the team and bringing somebody else with you along.
When you look at the handling success part, right, you want your guys to act like they've been there. And certainly, as I said, they have. How are you sure, though, that you are making sure your program takes that time to celebrate that success? Because I think as coaches, I said this on an earlier episode with Brad Zelenovich at Southeast Polk, is like we're guilty of turning that page really quick to go work on the next one. But, you know, we still got to remember those seniors are graduating. All those guys work very hard on that championship. How do you celebrate it What are the things you guys do within your program that maybe have, I guess, 4 years in a row now become tradition of this is the best way for us to embrace what we just did, celebrate it before we do move on quickly to the next one?
We always start, you know, obviously we're playing in December, and then we start January 4th, or that next day we're back in school. That's when we start our next year, you know, and that's just status quo and what we've always done. Now, obviously, we've got, I'm sitting here in my office right now, and our rings just came in. So we have our banquet, and then we have a ring ceremony, and we enjoy those things, and we've got all the extra shirts and stuff that we give all of our kids. But it's something every day you got to be, you know, how do you want to be remembered? You know, now it's to the point where we're at of you want to be remembered, you know, that doesn't win it. And, you know, we've got some guys that that are playing now. Their brothers were on the 18 and 19 team that didn't win a state championship. They won one in 17, but they didn't win one in 18 and 19. And, you know, hey, how do they feel? How do you want to be remembered like that? Or do you want to be remembered of we did it? And winning's not, obviously, winning a state championship's not the main, you know, the overall thing. Obviously, that's all great, and we want to do it. But you learn so many more things playing football. But, you know, to be remembered here, you've got to win a state championship. And another little thing we put, you know, obviously you're putting stuff on the stadium, and you're putting stuff on a – we added a little walkway that we do a Rebel Walk for the game. And it's got each year's motto and the year by it. And we walk down that every day to practice, too. We've got a turf field. And we walk down that every day, and we bring that up. You know, hey, if you want to be walking down and seeing your senior class or this team to be remembered, if you want to make that walkway, it takes what it takes. You got to go do these things and make it happen. So just the constant reminders. But we do enjoy and do that, but it's a tough thing to say, hey, you got to work towards the next one, and, hey, we want to celebrate what we did also. But there's a fine line, and we try to straddle that.
To wrap things up, Coach, for maybe that younger coach out there, that new head coach, you know, thinking back to, you got a lot of wins under your belt now, right? But thinking back to some of those early ones and maybe envisioning where you might be later down the line, what's your best advice for that guy who's looking to turn his program around, looking to win state championships, looking to have that tradition of success? What would you offer that coach looking back at where you were at that point in your career?
You know, I've never looked on any job that I've had. I've had three head jobs. This is my third one. I've never, every one of them that I took, I wasn't saying, hey, I'm taking this one to leave to the next one. And I think a lot of times that's what you get into people of, they're always they take a job looking to go somewhere else. You got to embrace yourself in that community, and you got to grind, and you just got to get kids to believe. You know, people say I'm a player's coach and I'm this, but I am a player's coach, but now I've got a great relationship with them. And they know I'm able to get things. I can get away. I can be hard on them at times because they know that I love them and I care about them. And I think that sometimes we forget, and they're not an X or an O on the board. It's still that Jimmy and Joe and who you got to talk to and how hard is he going to play. Everybody's going to have some good players, but you're going to win with that middle third of your roster, in my opinion. We've got some really good players, but then, you know, we had a guy, a two-way player on the offensive line that was 5'8", 185. He played on the O-line and the D-line, started both ways. And those are that core of just a hard-nosed football player that loves football. I think everybody kind of gets tied up, and you got to be this height, weight, size. We're not coaching college. We're coaching high school football, young men, and get after it and go grind and get everybody to believe together.
Coach, I appreciate you taking the time and sharing some insight on your program and what's made you guys successful. And certainly, best of luck here as you guys make that drive for five here, five in a row for the Rebels here in 2024.
Hey, thank you. Go Rebels.
Here are Winning Edge takeaways and ideas for implementation. 1. Embrace tradition, but put your spin on it. When taking over a successful program like Coach Haddix did at Boyle County High School, it's essential to put your own spin on things while still replicating the existing culture. Coach Haddix didn't just replicate what the previous coach did, he added his energy, made changes, and put his fingerprint on the program while also maintaining what was working well. 2. Embrace competition and build team culture. Implementing competitive elements within your training regimen like the Rebel Boot Camp and Rebel Week can foster a sense of teamwork, leadership, and drive among your players. Creating competitions, setting up team challenges, and emphasizing teamwork can help build a strong team culture that motivates players to push themselves and each other to achieve success. And three, utilize social media for branding and recognition for your program. Embrace social media platforms to showcase your program, highlight player achievements, and engage with the community. Coach Haddix is built by Boyle Series on various social media channels not only celebrates the team's success, but also provides a platform for players to share their stories, connect with fans, and build excitement within the community. Utilizing social media can help enhance your program's visibility, attract support, and create a positive image both on and off the field. Be sure to keep tuning in to Coach and Coordinator. Follow all we're doing at coachandcoordinator.com and follow us on X at Coach K. Grabowski.